Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Anyway, Judges 16, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read one verse to you, and then after I read this verse, I'm going to go back, and I've preached out of this verse before. Some of the things that I say in the introduction I've said before, but when we get to the seed of the thought, I've never preached this, and I want to give you something here with the help of the Lord. The Bible said this, Judges chapter number 16, verse number 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I'm primarily interested in that phrase right there. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Probably one of the saddest statements in our King James Bible today is that statement right there. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. In other words, he did not know that the power of God was no longer resting upon his life. Now, you give me some time in the introduction, I'm going to bring you into everything that's going on right here, and maybe we'll get an understanding of it. Father, I love you today. I stand in a place, God, where definitely in the arm of the flesh, I'm going to fail. So, God, I need your help this morning. I need your touch, God. You know, our physical need, our spiritual need, Lord, our mental need this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that you would, Father, erase all the things out of our mind that we've done this week, God, the things we've got planned for this coming up week, God, the things to do even after service today, and God, for the next 20 or 30 minutes, God, help my mind to be primarily focused, Father, on the Word of God. Father, help me to deliver what you've put in our heart. God, I pray that you'd save that sinner closest to hell. God, bring the backslidden closer to you, and we'll give you the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When you come into the book of Judges, it's a very interesting book. You'll find that in the book of Judges, the main theme is obedience brings God's blessings, and disobedience brings God's discipline. And can I say that is so true even in our day today? If we want the blessings of God on our life, then we'll have to be obedient to the Lord. If we want the chastisement of God on our life, then all we have to do is be disobedient to the Lord. When you study the book of Judges in chapter number 1 and 2, there is disobedience and Israel turns from God. In chapter 3 through 16, there's a discipline. The Lord chastens Israel. Then in chapter 17 through 21, there is a disorder because Israel sinks into anarchy. Here in the book of Judges, a new generation takes over that knows not God. Listen to what the Bible said in Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. There was a generation that came up that knew not God. I want to say something to you today. I believe that we are beginning to live where a generation is coming up that does not know the Lord. Church anymore is just we'll go if it's convenient to us. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. And what we want to do a lot of times, hear me and hear me well, we want to criticize the generation that's coming up and point a finger at them when they are not the ones that needs a finger pointed at them. It's It's their parents that needs the finger pointed at them. It's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault that they did not train up the child in the way they should go. So when they're old, they'll not depart. Now you can holler amen or you can say oh me, but the truth is the truth today. It's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault. And there's a generation here in the book of Judges that's that way. Here in the book of Judges, it's a time of disobedience, defeat, and disgrace. It's a time of compromise, corruption, and confusion. It's a time of religious apostasy, moral apathy, and political anarchy. Instead of Israel exhibiting spiritual favor, they sank into apathy. Instead of them obeying the Lord, the people moved into apostasy. And instead of the nation enjoying law and order, whenever you study this out, the land was filled with anarchy. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Israel had came to a place where they was no longer seeking God first. They was no longer prioritizing the things of God. They was no longer letting God have preeminence in their life. They would just run to God in a time of trouble and expect God to get them out of that. Now, I've said all of that to say this. It's a perfect time for somebody to arrive on the scene with the power of God on their life and make a difference in this generation. Can I say to you today, it's a perfect time for somebody to stand up for what is right. We're living in a nation that exhibits the same characteristics of Israel in that day in the book of Judges. And if there's ever been a time that we need somebody to stand up for what is right, it is in this day. If there's ever been a time that we need good, godly young ladies that'll live right and walk right and talk right and dress right, it's in the day that we're living in. If there's ever been a time that we need young men to stand up and walk right and talk right and dress right and look like a man, somebody say amen right there. It's in the day and age in which we live. If there's ever been a time that we need mothers to raise their children the way God intends for it to be, it's in the day and age in which we live. If there's ever been a time that we need men to stand up for what's right and to lead the homes and to be the spiritual leader in the homes and to be godly men, it's in the day that we're living in today. Today we need that. We are at a place in America where America needs us. Amen. America needs people to stand for what's right. Well, when we get to chapter number 13, guess what? God has prepared somebody to stand for what's right. His name is Samson. His name is Samson. You'll find that in studying his life, his name means sunny. Boy, isn't it interesting that in such a dark, dark day that God puts a man on the scene and his name means sunny. I want to say this to you today. When you begin to study the life of Samson, his name means sunny, but his life ends blinded from the world and in darkness, and he dies a martyr to sin. Samson has the potential to be the greatest of all the judges that lived in that day. Matter of fact, when you study Samson's pedigree out, you understand what I'm saying, his bloodline out, you'll find out that he was a Nazarite from birth. Whenever you look at it, Samson was a man that, as we begin to look at his life, let me show you some things. Look what the Bible said, chapter 13, if you've still got your Bible open. Chapter 13, verse number 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, watch this, and the Lord blessed him. Look what the Bible said in verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtah. What did the Bible say right after he's born? The Bible said that God blessed him and the Spirit of God. I'm talking about the potential that Samson's got. The Spirit of God began to move on him. Go with me to chapter 14. Look in verse number 6 what your Bible says. The Bible says this. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Watch this. Chapter number 14, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Watch this. Chapter number 15, verse number 14. When they came unto the Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Watch what the Bible said. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. But if you'll notice something in chapter number 16, Samson in chapter number 16, the beginning, I don't have time to preach all this, but in the beginning of chapter number 16, Samson finds himself in a bad way. Samson gets the victory at the beginning of chapter number 16, but it is not mentioned that the Spirit of God is upon him. You see, in all the potential that Samson had in his life, there come a day where he got built up in his own pride and thought he could take care of everything himself, and God allowed him to one time. But evidently Samson didn't realize the power of God was off of his life. What happened to Samson? Where did Samson go wrong at? The Bible said this in verse number 16, or chapter number 16, verse number 20. And he wist not the Lord was departed from him. Samson did not realize the power of God was gone. Number one, I want you to see this, the reason this morning. I'm going to preach quick. Stay with me. The reason what happened in the life of Samson. Let me tell you what Samson had a problem with. Hear me and hear me well. Samson had a problem with one thing, and it was called women. Samson had a problem with women. Let me tell you what a lot of men's downfalls are. Women. You might as well holler amen. Need I start naming great preachers of days gone by that is no longer in the ministry because of a woman? And you say, well, that woman shouldn't have done this or that woman shouldn't have done that. I agree 100%, but that man shouldn't have done it either. Every person has a choice. Samson's failure began with a woman. That's where it started at. You say, are you male chauvinist? No, I'm not male chauvinist. I married a woman. Somebody say amen right there. My wife's a lady. I've got three daughters. I don't know how many goats we got down there now that's nanny goats. Our dog's a woman. And no, my mama's a woman. My grandma's a woman. But I'm going to tell you something. A woman out of God's will is one of the wickedest things you'll ever meet. I can tell you who's got the worst mouth, the worst attitude. Now, you can holler amen or oh me. Let me tell you who can be the biggest blessing to a church and who can be the biggest curse to a church. A woman. I'm going to say something else right here, and you get mad, and it'll all be all right. We'll be done here in a minute. Every major problem I've had in this church, with the exception of one, stemmed from a woman. Samson's problem was this. He got his eyes on a woman. The Bible said this, that Samson went, that why is the power of God no longer on Samson? What is called, man, I just read to you over and over, the power of God's resting on him. I'm talking about from his birth, the power of God's on him. I'm talking about he's a Nazirite. He's got a Nazirite separation. Man, you just got to study Numbers to understand that. From his birth. What happened? Here's what happened. The Bible said this. He went down to Timnath. Look in chapter 14, verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Verse number 2 said this. And he came up and told his father and his mother. and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I've fasted and I've prayed, and God's given me scripture for it. So get her for me to wife. No, it didn't say nothing about praying about it. Didn't say nothing about seeking the face of God on it. You know what he said? He said, get her for me. Nowhere do we find right here Samson saying that he's talked to God about this. Look in verse number 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for I prayed about it, and she pleases God. No. He said, get her for me. What did the Bible say? For she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. Let me tell you the reason they knew not that it was of the Lord, because it wasn't of the Lord. It was. I heard a preacher preach one time, and he took that verse and said that his mom and daddy did not understand what God's will for Samson's life was. That's preaching the most out of context, is saying we're not eternally saved. Let me tell you the reason they knew not it was of the Lord, because it wasn't of God. Samson's going in the wrong direction. Samson's going down the wrong path. And God has set a mom and daddy that is trying to lead him right. You say, how do you know they're trying to? I don't have this wrote down. How do you know they're trying to lead him right? Look in chapter 13, verse number 8. Here's the reason I know they're trying to lead him right. Then Manoah, which is his father, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. You know what his mom and daddy does? They said, look, they said, send us a preacher. Understand, they don't have 66 books in this day. You got to understand where we're at in the Bible. They said, send us a prophet, send us a man of God, that he'll teach us how to raise our child. They're doing everything they can do to raise that child the right way and to lead him in the right direction. But Samson's at a place in his life where he's no longer going to listen to his mom and dad. He's no longer going to listen to God. Samson is headed down the wrong path. The reason the power of God's no longer on him, here's the reason why: he's going in the wrong direction. You go on, you read this story, he ends up going back down there, and as he starts back down there, he goes by a vineyard. He's not supposed to be there because of his Nazirite separation. He's not supposed to be there, but he does, and whenever he gets there, there's a lion comes out after him. And whenever the lion comes out, this is one of the times that the Spirit of the Lord moves mightily upon him. That lion comes out after him, and you know what he does? God gives Samson the power to rend the lion, to kill the lion. And Samson kills the lion that day. Let me tell you what that lion was. That lion was God trying to get Samson turned back around, going the right direction. And God gave him the power to overcome it, but he still wouldn't listen to God. How many times does God set blocks up in our past trying to get us to go another way? See, Samson's being tempted by a woman in Timnath. God's making a way of escape. Because with every temptation, I wish somebody hear the preacher this morning. With every temptation, God makes a way of escape. That verse over there in the New Testament where he's talking about that has nothing to do with the troubles of our life. A lot of people takes that verse so far. Me and Brother Scotty was talking about this week. Takes that verse so far out of context. There will be days when you have more on you than you can bear. That's the reason he said, take my yoke upon me. That's the reason he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. That verse is dealing with temptation. And Samson is faced with temptation. The reason Samson's faced with temptation, and Brother Stan, instead of listening to God, he continues down the wrong path. the reasons that the power of God's off of him now. Why? Because he just won't listen to God. How many times has God said, this is not right, but in our own ignorance? Well, let me just back up and rephrase it. It's not an ignorance. In our own self-will, we decide to keep going. We decide, God speaks to our heart. I might not even be preaching on some deep sin. It might be a job situation. It might be this. It might be that. And God's trying to guide you a different way. But your eyes are so set on money. It is the root of all evil. It's busted up more homes than alcohol has. It's amen, because there is chasing an almighty dollar. You can say amen or oh me. They got their eyes on that. God's saying, hey, whoa, here's a door. I'm opening up a door here. You can go here. You can do this. You can do that. But we continue on our path. And what's going to happen is this: one morning you're going to wake up and you're going to be so far away from God that you're not even going to realize that the power of God's not even on your life no more. The reasons, I could preach on and on and on. The reason is this. Chapter 15 rolls around and gets with another woman. Chapter 16, he ends up with Delilah. You know the story if you know the Word of God. And they keep the Philistines as wanting to kill. Man, Samson, boy, if time would let me, I would love just to slow down and preach about an hour this morning. Samson is tired and give out. He picks up, the Bible said this in chapter 14, it's chapter 14 and chapter 15. He picks up the jawbone of an ass because he's tired and he's wore out and thirsty. And God lets water come out of the jawbone of an ass and takes care of Samson. Takes care. Boy, he knows what the power of God is. Still, Brother Dakota, he's chasing after the world just as hard as he can go. Chapter number 16, he meets his match with Delilah. In chapter number 16, she ends up asking him, tell me where all of your strength is. They bind him. He breaks them. He picks up the gates of the city, carries them to the top of the hill. I mean, it's just amazing. You remember I said this is a wicked world and God's put somebody in it at this place to do what's right. Give them all the power they needed to do it. What about that? He ends up telling her his heart. Better be real careful who you're sharing your heart with. Better be real careful who you're sharing your spiritual secrets with. He says, my strength's in my hair. Nazarite couldn't, they wasn't supposed to cut their hair. Said, my strength's in my hair. He goes to sleep on her lap. While he's asleep on her lap, they cut his hair off. They bind him up. And he jumps up in chapter number 16 and is going to shake it all off him like he has times before. But he wist not the Lord had departed from him. You see, God had already started departing from him. This is not losing our salvation. Let me just say that. I'll say more about that in just a minute. God already started departing from him right here at the beginning of chapter number 16. God let him do one thing in the power of himself. So hope, I believe this is what I believe about this, Miss Tanya. So hopefully he would understand that he needed God again. That he would realize the condition that he was in. But Brother Tim, he didn't realize it. So what does he do? Here's what he does. He continues down that path. And boy, by the end of chapter 16, he's in a big mess. The reason is this. He loved the world more than he loved God. That's why. What's this? The reason. Number two. I'm about done. Number two, watch this. What time is it? Oh, we got plenty of time. Number two, the request. Look in verse number 28. At this point, Samson's tied up. His eyes has been plucked out from him. I'm going to go back and hit that in just a second. But look what he says in verse number 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars, and I just want to say something about his request right here. I can't wait till I get to heaven. For about 3 million years, we're going to gather around the throne of God and just shout it out. But after that, I want to sit down with Samson. Let me read you verse number 28 again. I'm trying to get done, but I just feel like preaching a while this morning. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once avenge the Philistines for my two eyes. You know something in that verse that I find interesting? Let me just tie these 2 points together. You got his request, but you got the result. The results of him living a life of sin. If you'll go back in verse number 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters and brass and did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. So his hair began to grow. That's where all of his strength's at. God allows his hair begin to grow again. But watch verse number 24. I seen this morning studying. The Bible said this, and when the people saw him, they praised their, pay attention to the punctuation right here, little G-O-D. They praised their God, a false God. Look what he says. Goes on to say, for they said, our little G-O-D hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. That's what Samson had done when you study it out. He's killed a whole slew of them. And you know what they're doing? Here's what they're doing. Samson, the man of God in a dark world that God's put there, has been bound now. His eyes is plucked from him, and he's at the prison house, bound, walking around, tied to a mill wheel, and I don't have time to preach all that, but walking around bound to that. And they're praising a false God for giving them the victory. And when Samson prays, I haven't got all the understanding of this that I need yet, but when Samson prays right there, he don't say nothing about avenging them for praising a false God. But Tim, he's still borderline being selfish in that prayer. Because all he's talking about is his two eyes. Don't say nothing. If you got some insight on that, I want it after service. But Jacob, he don't say nothing about them praising a false God. But he requests, you know what God does in his mercy and in his grace. Now it's the time for everybody to start saying amen. You know what God does in his mercy and in his grace? Even though that prayer, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, but in my opinion, that prayer is a little bit selfish. I want you to avenge them for my eyes, God. In other words, I want you to get them back for what they've done to me. You know what God does in his mercy? His request, the results is this. You know what God does in his mercy and in his grace? The power of God began to move on Samson one more time. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. In other words, the power of God began to come on Samson one more time. And when you read the rest of chapter number 16, here's what happens in the rest of chapter number 16. The power of God moves on Samson one more time. He tears the walls down, the place caves in, and the Bible said he was more successful at his death than he was in his whole life. The result was, yes, the power of God come on his life. Do you care to come start playing softly? But the result was also this. He never got his sight back. He never got out of prison. He died a martyr. Are you getting what I'm saying? God does forgive us, but there's always results that comes from it. It'll always cost us something to sin. I'm glad Hebrews chapter number 11, we call it the heroes of faith, but we could also call it the heroes of failures. Because listen to this, Abraham lacked the faith to believe God's promises to take care of him. And he went down to Egypt where he lied about his wife. Sarah laughed at God and mocked his promises. Isaac lied about his wife. Moses committed murder and tried to cover it up. Joshua was full of pride and failed to pray before the attack of Ai, where the nation of Israel was defeated. Rahab, that's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also Rahab, that's in Hebrews chapter number 11, was a prostitute. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. The successful Christian is not the person who never fails, but it is the person who, when they fail, gets back up and goes on for the Lord. The successful Christian is the person who accepts God's remedy for sin and reaches up to God for cleansing and forgiveness when he does fail. You will fail. I will fail. We will miss the mark, but aren't you glad that there's a God in heaven that when we do fail and when we do mess up, and when we even do pray some selfish prayers, that hears us. And he said this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from our sins. I'll show you one thing in closing. I didn't close my Bible, but I'm going to open it back up. I'll show you one thing in closing. Chapter 16, look at verse number 31. Chapter 16, verse number 31. Man, I feel like preaching another hour, but I'm going to hush. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up. They're going to bury Samson right here. And buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. Do you remember what the Bible said in chapter 13? Listen to what the Bible said. And the Spirit of the Lord, chapter 13, verse number 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between where? Zoah and Eshtol. The Bible said that they buried him between Zoah and Eshtol. He never got any further than he started. What about that? What about that? He never got any further than he started. Never got, we could say it this way, and I preach a message entitled this, he was almost a champion. Almost a champion. Brother Josh, you never got any further than he started. Why? Because he wished not the Lord had departed from him. I want to get a little further than I started. I want, Brother Tim, I won't make it a little further than where I got in at. I don't want to just get saved and that's it. I don't want Brother Dakota to be a preacher and that's it. I don't want to just pastor a church. I want to give it everything. I want to be able to say this on my deathbed. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I finished it. I give it everything. I give it everything. Yesterday, me and Brother Brian was walking around the property. He was talking about what all the Lord had done. Even this morning, we were sitting in my office talking about what God has done here. I just don't think we realize what God has done here. I just don't think we realize what God has done here. The building appraised on an architectural value at $1.1 million. That's what that building appraised for. When it's all said and done, unless something major takes place, but we're about at the point where nothing else major is going to take place. We're going to count and paving everything back there. Counting everything, we're going to probably be at about $475 or $500. You say, preacher, how does that happen? It's through the power of God. It's not through men. It's not through women. It's through the power of God. And it'd be a nightmare, Brother
Cody to wake up one day and the power of God be off his place and us not even know it. We better remember. We better remember where God's brought us from. We better remember what God's done in this church. We better remember the power of God that has been manifested to us. And we better become, watch this in closing, reliable on that. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. We've got to be dependent upon God. We cannot do it. When we get to the point where we think we can, he's going to depart from us. We'll find ourselves like Samson in a big mess. If you are in a mess this morning, I'm glad to report to you, God heard his prayer. Amen. God delivered him. But boy, he sure could have done a whole lot more. I just wonder, if he'd have realized it at the beginning of chapter number 16. I wonder if I'd have read out of the book of Samson this morning. He's got an honorable mention in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, but it's just in passing. David's got an honor, but it's just in passing. Instead of four chapters, I wonder if it had been 1 Samson and 2 Samson. I ask you this question in closing. If your life is going to be wrote about in the Bible, would you have four chapters or would you have a book? It's up to us. It's up to us. If God's trying to detour us from, boy, we better heed to that, Miss Haley. We better heed to the power of God in our life. The power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God is something that's foreign to 95% of Christians today, Brother Matt. Something that's foreign to them. But if you know what I'm preaching, you know what I'm preaching. If you know what it's like to be under the spout where the glory of God runs out, you know what it's like.